Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, Puma, we talk about Jesus, life,
and everything in between.
Between, yeah.
Was that a test? You're looking at me like,
I was like, do we say it together? Or
I mean, because we don't practice these things.
We don't.
Yeah, it's kind of just how we roll. But
right.
But we do. We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really that is, I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, that is everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I like that we don't necessarily rehearse this, but we do pray beforehand and talk about, I mean, we do talk about beforehand, but, you know, this isn't rehearsed. We just, okay, this is the concept, this is God's word, you know, Holy Spirit, lead us and to more truth. And, you know, I'm excited because we just finished, I love that series, you know, the previous series last time of the God of the Old Testament. And, you know, now we're nearing the end of August and wow, I'm so excited for this new idea, new series. And so Puma, you want to introduce this series for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a lot of conversations with people and also just, you know, as you and I are, you know, interacting, you know, throughout the summer and, you know, reading the Bible and just, you know, different things that God's teaching us and just conversations that we have. And, you know, one of the things going into this political season, you know, it's like, you know, our world, our culture is so full of angst and bitterness and just name calling and, you know, not just, you know, out there, but also like within the church and within families. And, you know, it's like, how do you traverse, you know, all the different things? How do people get, you know, that old axiom, you know, at least it's my old axiom, you know, where two or more are gathered, there you have conflict, right?
It might be a proverb, maybe.
I don't know, but it just sounds so appropriate. I mean, you know, the more we spend time with each other, the more we rub each other wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because the Bible is very clear that we are sinful by nature and by choice and that we are not naturally loving. I think we had mentioned this previously at some point, but in 1 John chapter 4, you know, Jesus says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice.
Yeah.
That love is not something that we have in ourselves to give. Love that we have that's actually love or love that reflects the heart of God is love that God has given to us that we've experienced in Christ. Love comes to us from God, and our response then is to reciprocate that or to live that out. So as one who has trusted Jesus as Savior, that Jesus' heart and Jesus' character begins to be more and more my heart and character. And so as you and I have been talking about this and just seeing things out there, we thought, man, be great to just talk about love.
Love.
I mean, who doesn't want to? I mean, the whole world talks about love.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in every generation, every year, you have love songs that are written and everything else.
Yeah, even in the book space, like, I think love/romance is the number one grossing book being produced right now. I mean, whether it be romance novels or, you know, how to have the best kind of love life or what, I mean, all these different dating books, it is such a hot topic and it's been that way for decades.
It's been that way since the beginning of time.
That's, you know, a lot of decades.
since God created man, because we were created for relationship and at the heart of relationship is this thing called love. And what love does, what love doesn't in relationship to other people. And we all want to be loved.
Right.
And we all think that in one way or another that we love others. But is our quote-unquote expressions of love or the way we think about love, is it accurate or is it in line with the heart of God? So what we want to do in this, you know, next series, we want to look at one particular chapter of the love chapter.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, which is?
1 Corinthians 13.
1 Corinthians 13, which is amazing that this chapter on love is in the heart of a book, you know, 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that was so not loving. They were so messed up. And we're not going to go through 1 Corinthians and all the different situations about how they were not loving. I mean, when you have people in the church that are suing one another,
right,
and where they don't want to sit with each other at communion,
right,
and you know when they're endorsing sin in their midst, and I mean just the whole thing,
right?
I mean, just on and on and on. But in the midst of that, the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, if you are in Christ, you have receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has gifted and empowered you to love and to minister to one another. And he says at the end of chapter 12, he says, now, you know, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And then you get to chapter 13. It's just this picture or portrait. It's really kind of a painting of love, of which, you know, Jesus is probably the object, right, of that portrait. But it's a portrait. And so we want to kind of look at this and break it down. But this morning, as we kind of get started, or, you know, this afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening to this, I mean, it comes out in the morning, but
right.
We just want to kind of introduce this subject. So,
yeah. Well, let's dive into 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, Puma. So here we are in 1 Corinthians 13, and there's a lot. There's a lot here in this chapter. There's a lot, really. I mean, yeah, this whole chapter is very heavy, but starting out this series, you know, I think the first few verses are primary to kind of understand before we dive into the nuances and the particular words in this. So you want to read for us the first few verses here?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to focus on, you know, verses 4 through 7 in this series, all the different little parts, but let me just kind of read starting with verse 1 through verse 7. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, that'd be kind of amazing.
That'd be crazy.
But have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I love how he begins, you know, this chapter. You know, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah, what does that remind you of?
I know you have a gong in your office. Maybe it's youth building now, but I know you hit that once and it draws everyone's attention.
Yeah.
If there's just a constant banging, I mean, cymbals are loud too. It's just, it's chaotic, it's crazy, it's frustrating. And for me, it brings a lot of discomfort and irritation.
Yeah, see, one of the things that the internet has allowed, it's allowed everyone to have a voice, everyone to speak, everyone to be an author, everyone to be an artist, everyone to be a musician, and everyone is out there waxing eloquent, as they say, and putting forth their best poetry and their most pithy thoughts and statements for the world. And yet, if someone comments about something that someone writes in a negative way, what is the response?
Yeah, they say you get flamed in the comments, but people go off. Someone critiques a video, which everyone really does online.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to wars and arguments and some nasty things are said.
Yeah. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I can write and post and have videos that make people laugh, and I can do all this stuff, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. I'm just noise.
Yeah.
I'm just noise. We live in a world that is so full of noise that we can't differentiate or make out what's really real from what's false, what's true, what's valuable. It's just noise. I mean, what turns a poem or a story or a video or a conversation into something meaningful and beautiful or helpful? You know, just my good intentions, or is it, you know, a heart that desires to love the best for others? You know, when we get to all these individual little pieces, so much of it's going to highlight just the heart of sin and the heart of self. And so much of the noise out there is just self.
Yeah, right.
It's not other, it's self.
Well, and I think too, love, the other side of love is, you know, you have the other emotion, you know, hate, right? I mean, because we love something, other things anger us. And I love how in these verses, you're going to see what love does, but also what love doesn't do, you know? And Jesus got mad because he loved, right? You know, I think what triggers us, right? I mean, sometimes, honestly, the comments are way more entertaining than the video, right? Whether it be some Instagram short or some Facebook, whatever, you want some entertainment, it's not the video. It's how crazy and offended people get in the comments. And yet you see what people really love, right?
Right.
You see the reaction in people. You know, you see what people truly value based on what they say. And something I've told Emily for, you know, my wife, Emily, she's awesome. She's great. But even with just communication, like, if you can't fix a problem online, if it started online, I mean, you can't fix a text won't fix a problem that started via text, right? And I think sometimes too, we get so, I don't know, entitled maybe is the word, or or wow, I'm offended. I have a right to
just go off.
Yeah, right. And sometimes we think we're loving. Well, they need to know they're wrong. I mean, even in the religious circles, some of these Facebook, you know, arguments and I mean, talk about politics in this season. I mean, some people can be so unchristlike in the name of Christ.
Right.
Especially when it comes behind a screen where they can just text or type away.
See, love here, Paul's talking about, and the word agape, probably many people have heard that. And we're not going to get into, try to define agape into all kinds of little pieces. All we're going to say about that, really, it is the, in the New Testament in particular, it is the one self-sacrificing love, giving of yourself love for others love. And the context here of love is with people. It's relationships. And so when people, why does somebody post anything online? Is it because you want the environment to see it? Is it because, I mean, who are you posting it for? Right. I mean, you don't post something unless you want other people to see it and to respond to it.
Yeah, a post is no good if you don't have any Facebook friends.
Right. So if I can speak, if I can put, have an amazing, you know, online presence, let's say, and be an influencer, you know, or Miranda Sings, you know, have a viral video, back in the day. You know, if I can have a viral video, but it's just, I put out there without love, it's just noise.
Yeah.
It's just noise. The second thing he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
Yeah.
What a statement, I am nothing.
Yeah.
Isn't this why we post stuff and we do things? We pad our resumes so that we can be something.
Right. Yeah, it's self-promotion. It's I mean, call it self-love, selfishness, really. But yeah, it's we want to air our whatever, our seemingly good opinions.
I want to get this job. I want to get this degree. I want to have this fame or whatever it is, right? I mean, I want all these things. If I can do all these amazing things, if I can, even in the religious sense, I can have the gift of prophecy, right? And I proclaim all these things and everybody look at me and I can, you know, solve the mysteries of life and I can do all this stuff. I have a faith that is so powerful and so amazing that I can move a mountain. Yeah. But I don't have love. I am nothing.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, what is Paul saying? That who you are is not based upon what you do and what you have, who you are and what gives your life value and meaning before God and people is if you have a heart of love. You have this agape, self-sacrificing love as the basis or foundation for what you do and what you have.
Yeah.
See, he's not saying you shouldn't do things. He's not saying you can't have things.
Right.
He's not saying you can't have an online presence. He's not saying that you can't have this particular skill or this particular occupation or this whatever. But he's saying, if your motivation is to be someone amazing instead of to have a heart of love that is for others, you're coming to nothing.
Yeah, that's so interesting too. Because in some ways, like, well, I mean, you look down at the, you know, the next verse. I mean, you mentioned it, the faith that moves mountains. I mean, that's impressive, right? I mean, that's a faithful person,
right?
Someone who just seems very religious. I mean, I think of the Pharisees, right? I mean, Jesus was the most hard on them.
Right.
But they had seemingly faith, right? I mean, they looked good at church, right? People had all this renown and respect for the Pharisees, but they didn't love people well.
Right.
You know? And that's...
And you see this in the church, too. You have people that are doers. Nothing wrong with doing. but to do, but to, in a sense, not love mm-hmm. the people. Mm-hmm. We'll get into all the details, but you know, you can be easily rude with people,
yeah. right.
right? Right, or envious, or boastful. Look at what I did. Mm-hmm. How come you're not appreciating what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some of those details in future podcasts. But this is the thing. Who am, what am I, who am I, what is my value and worth? My value and worth does not come from my accolades or my resume.
Yeah.
If yeah. it's not motivated with this agape, this self-sacrificing love. Hey, the next thing he says there, verse 3, he says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pause there because that sounds so selfless, right? I mean, well, you know, I want to love people. I'm going to give to the needy, and I'm going to sacrifice my body even to in the flames to die, right? It's so interesting that people can do good things and not love people.
Right. Again, it gets back to the motivation.
Hmm.
Why am I helping the poor? Why am I sacrificing myself?
Yeah, it's true.
What am I seeking to gain from that?
Mm-hmm.
If what I'm seeking to gain is the betterment of someone else, mm-hmm. it's motivated out of love.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if we look into our hearts, is that why we do it? Mm-hmm. Do we do it for the betterment of other people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to help the poor, and are you going to sacrifice maybe your wealth without mm-hmm. letting anyone ever know about it, strictly mm-hmm. because you want to help the poor?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, so often these kind of self-sacrificing things are done not privately, but publicly.
Right.
To get something, to right. gain something, to yeah. gain to some kind of notoriety
right.
or
status,
fame or status, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people post all the time, hey, I went and did this. Well, what do you hope to gain from that?
right. Yeah. Or people post with their Instagram, this is my Bible time with God at the coffee shop. Yeah. And
look at me,
verse.
I'm giving water to somebody. right?
Right.
I mean, and again, we're not saying it's wrong to say the Bible.
right.
It's
right.
not wrong to give water.
Right.
What Paul is saying, all he's saying is that what we think we're trying to gain from that, if it's not motivated out of love,
mm-hmm.
we're gaining nothing from that.
Right.
We're getting no good reputation. We're gaining nothing from that.
Yeah. Well, something that I've challenged myself, you know, a lot is, would I rather be good or look good?
Right.
Because I think a lot of my motivation is to look good. I mean, I'm a pastor. I serve people. I have a youth group and blah, 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 blah. And I got to check my heart, because if I am just doing this, I'm going to disciple this person, or I'm going to go help out this needy widow in the church, and I really do care for them. But would I be as eager to do that if no one saw me but God,
right? Right?
Or I mean, even to give, right? To surrender, to sacrifice for people, but only God sees. Would I really be that excited? And
yeah, this and idea of loving when no one sees it. And as we get into some of the details from verses 4 to 7, what love does, what love doesn't.
Yeah.
right? There's a lot of things love doesn't that never get seen.
Yes.
But
yes.
because it's motivated out of a genuine concern for the other, mm-hmm. not for myself, this selfless, self-sacrificing type mm-hmm. of love. Really a picture of Jesus. I mean, go back to the portrait, right? So this is the painting, and Jesus is the object that's being painted, right?
Mm-hmm.
The artist is painting Jesus. How do you paint Jesus? You these are the types of details mm-hmm. that we see in Jesus's life.
Mm-hmm.
Could he speak with the tongue of men and of angels?
Sure.
Yeah.
Jesus.
right? At great cost to himself.
Yeah.
So sometimes he spoke the truth, even though it was not popular.
Mm.
He was not just noise. He was an amplifier of mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. with the words that he spoke. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
Yeah.
Was Jesus nothing? I mean, what he did miracles, did all these things, but did he do miracles to promote himself? Some miracles, right. I mean, he did miracles that no one knew
right.
about.
Yeah, John says that if we recorded everything, there wouldn't be enough books to tell all that Jesus did.
All the things Jesus did.
That's amazing.
And his motivation always was, love. And, the third thing, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Mm.
I mean, Jesus going to the cross, Did he go to the cross for his own self-interest? What did he have to gain there?
Yeah.
He didn't gain reputation in his day. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cross was the accursed.
Right.
He gained dishonor. He gained the cultural curse. Everything wrong with this world is what he took upon himself.
Right. That was his achievement.
That was his achievement. But Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
What did he gain? He gained everything because he was motivated by love, not by self-interest, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So this is where we're going to go with this. But we want to, as Paul kind of sets this up, you know, this is not about us. It's about the other. And love is how to express this kind of God-oriented, Christ-like, selfless love in the world that we live in, in the workplace, in the home, in the church. Because honestly, if we want to follow Jesus, we need to learn to love well.
Yeah, and I want to say this too. This is for the Christian, and not just the one, oh, I go to church, but the Jesus follower. I mean, this call to love like Jesus loved. I can sometimes be, I call myself a truth terrorist. This is true. The Bible says this. You know, Jesus called out the Pharisees and was super direct, so I can do that too. And maybe there's a time and place for that, but you're right. The motivation should never be, I am right. The motivation is, I love you. And the truth and love are not separate, you know? And yet sometimes I call it a truth terrorist. I beat people up with truth and I'm uncaring, and that's wrong, you know? And I've had to repent to Emily, but even, you know, to the Lord, like, God, I'm so sorry. I use truth in a way to be unkind. So I can be totally correct and totally in sin. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Like, love is everything.
And I can be totally wrong in my truth telling, but super lovey-dovey. And I'm also insane.
That's right. Yeah, it goes both ways.
It goes both ways. That's a whole separate podcast series, Truth and Love.
Yeah.
But he talks about this here even, that love rejoices with the truth. And we'll get into that in a future podcast.
So what's a good application question, you know, Puma? Well, what's something that we can, as we start this series, what's something we can really point our listeners, ourselves to?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, as far as like an application question, you know, Paul's desire for the Corinthian church was that they just don't claim it, but they live it. That love needs to be expressed. It's not just that I have good intentions, but to actually express it. And so the question, you know, for us, we kind of get started is, you know, do I intend to love people, or do I actually know how to express Christ-like love to people?
That's good.
Because we are full of good intentions. You know, and we think, and especially in our world today, we think, because I intend goodwill for you, I'm being loving.
Right.
Even though I don't care about your situation, or I'm rude with my words, or whatever.
So. Yeah. Well, that's such a great application question, a good AQ. Ironically enough, just yesterday, I read part of Titus, and Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk a whole bunch. We can have good intentions, but if our deeds don't align with what we claim about God, we deny not ourselves. We deny Jesus. We deny him. You're right. Yeah, it's not enough just to, quote, know or to think things. If we don't live it out, it's a big deal. Right. And love needs to be expressed. Oh, that's good. Thank you. And guys, thank you too for joining us. I'm so excited for this series. I need to be challenged and grow in how I love, but I'm so glad you guys are with us in this. And if you have any questions or comments or thoughts, you can always email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. So thanks, guys. We'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.